Hokkaido Tejaniya at the Forest Refuge with the staff on Monday,
21st?
May 21st, 07.
There is a few
feedback mechanism, but it might be very subtle.
Reality, yeah, that's how we see.
Yeah, the reality of it is that there is a connection.
So you might group here and you're my boy.
When there's something that's happening in your mind, or something happens in the body, then you realize.
Because
you mentioned there's four things that make up the body, right? So the when the mind is strong, the parts of the body that is connected to the mind, he says that is strengthened by the mind, if the mind is strong. But he says there is body that is affected by food and environmental conditions. And he says that something may not be strengthened just because the mind is strong. He's noticed in the meditation center when it's very hot, Reggie gets sleepy, and when it's very cold, they have sleepy too. Because the mind doesn't like it, the mind doesn't
react to it.
So when the mind has a reaction, he says it reactions weaken the mind, so the awareness and steadiness of stability of the mind are affected.
And
he says you have to investigate all these things much more. If you want to know more, you have to investigate all these things. You just want to
Is it not sufficient to just be mindful of the fact that when the weather changes that I change in response to it? I mean, do I need to go beyond that?
When you notice that your body and mind are affected by the environmental conditions, then what does it help you understand?
I just think it gives me, I mean, it's just something that I become aware of. I don't know that, I don't feel like so much that I have to do anything in reaction to it. It's just sort of like this is, when this happens, this is that.
So, but he told me that he how tough was to do the ambo malo bao. He for what to go see ama malo.
Go balo do the look at. Go ne ba sai.
He says, well, you don't have to do anything in reaction to it. When he has a question, he says, what does this have to this process that you've noticed when the weather is like this, what does that have to do with you?
track. I mean,
yeah,
I,
kid
I,
was
I,
she
I
did
can track
yeah.
physically and mentally.
Yeah. Ooh, ma. Now the cool.
It's the same if, as if you would notice that when you see some food, it makes you feel hungry, and then you salivate. And she said, who did that? Who made that process happen?
Okay, she just said that.
Sometimes in a moment of clarity for the mind can notice such a process and suddenly understand in a deeper way the truth of the fact that all this is just a process.
So
for that kind of deeper insight to arise, he says the mind that is noticing has to have curiosity and a desire to actually understand things. So it has to be kind of awake and alive and really noticing instead of just like a, well, I noticed it, you know, it was like this, like this.
Notice for what? Realize it. Don't be afraid of bad part.
What's the difference between realizing and noticing?
So what? What for?
Why notice?
Why are we aware? Yeah, I know my background, my mean I see I'm a
He says so this motivation must always be in the background of the mind. Why are we being aware? We must be clear about this motivation. Then that motivation will bring
He
says, if there is not this desire to understand, he says then every time there is this contact with this kind of thing, we see it, the mind will just react with either greed, aversion, or belief. He says, for a start, he says, like, noticing the mind, the feeling, the body sensations. He says, is the mind able to see that all this is just nature at will? He said it's good to talk like this. Now he's given you some information. You don't need to do anything like active with that information.
I think yeah, I'll do
it. But that information will be remembered by the mind. Yeah, he says, and when the time is right, the mind will understand the truth of that. Mm-hmm. So he says it's good to just be.
And I also find that in the environment that I'm in now, where distractions are available to me, I'm more likely to turn towards the distraction if I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's harder to stay with it when I have a choice of not staying with it.
Yeah.
Whereas in another environment, say if I was on the street and I didn't have those choices, I'd be more inclined to actually stay with it
mm-hmm.
and feel that it's controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That even as you distract your mind with that other activity, your mind can still stay on this
this experience and continue to investigate.
Oh,
it's an activity. You can do the activity. It's not that important. You don't have to give it all your attention.
I don't know him, eh? The Bawa Sikh and the two low. No, I have to do blue term. I mean, that's a daily life, man.
Listen, you know, learning how to do the things you do daily and bringing awareness in and learning how to be doing this work and holding some consciousness inside, self-consciousness inside while doing that is something that we have to make a point to try to practice. He said no kind of focusing works for this kind of meditation. So you can't focus on yourself, but you can't focus on the work either. If you focus too deeply into the external world, you cannot be aware. If you focus too deeply into this, you can't be aware.
So
cannot be 100% in the work and not 100% in yourself.
50-50
So we have to deliberately learn to do it 50-50.
And if I stay with it as best I can,
yeah,
then over time, gradually, my skill will develop.
That's right.
This is practice is very important.
I find that in the past there's been too much striving and it becomes too much effort and they're just tight and it's
you're aware of what's going on inside in your reaction, but you're also living in the world and noticing what's causing those reactions.
Yes, you're right. Okay. Recognizing, Dolly.
Just recognizing.
Yeah, you think we know.
Because you need to be just interested in that.
How much
does my mind stay inside me? And if I find that my mind is staying with me more and more, he says then the mind becomes able to investigate also. When the mind is skillful at noticing thoughts and feelings and sensations and activities, then then you can kind of move ahead from that. You are
Jiga Tabra Narao.
The Boba.
Hello, Mr. Panay, I will do it. Toro Mamma, Jamie, to a hair of Maya. More in the Makana, no, but so, Joe, you are there. Two years ago, you will take Masua, a flare level of Maya. Did the Loma do a bit of food tower? The more playing now. Playing the Lena. So, you think you're tired because you don't get to sleep?
And I suppose it's worrying you have
to
sleep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, for a while he says, let's not consider sleeping or not sleeping. And be interested in the mind that is happening right now. Happening for you right then.
If there's
aversion in the mind, you will be even less able to sleep.
And I suppose it's worrying
you have
to.
So for a while he says, let's not consider sleeping or not sleeping. And be interested in the mind that is happening right now. Happening for you right
then.
If there is aversion in the mind, you will be even less able to sleep. So, you need to pay more attention to the aversion. You need to be concerned.
So, but you need to be interested
in aversion in the present moment, not for the reasons you think you're feeling averse or because you think something will happen, therefore you're averse, but just the feeling of aversion. And if you're going to observe aversion, what would be the right view with which to view aversion? What view are you going to take towards aversion?
He says,
and when you take the view that it's your pain and your aversion, it's going to be worse.
So you need,
the mind needs to
accept
that this is the nature of how it is now. He says, so it's not the lack of sleep, it's not the not sleeping that's a problem, it's the aversion that is the main problem. He says, and aversion itself makes the pain worse.
Oh yes, I know that.
Oh, even the old Samuel, you know, even though you're a bad person, I mean, you are able to do that. See, Tama, yeah.
There was some, I mean, he worked with someone who was insomniac and always had to take tranquilizers to sleep. You know, because the person wants to sleep. And he told the person, if the person could just try to be aware and have awareness and concentration and
Then do my job anyway. Even if you overdo that, if you overdo that. Yeah, I'm a pure better than a few. I said, Shall of the Yan of the Rita Mani, I've seen this room.
There is no problem. No problem. Nothing happens because someone doesn't have sleep. If that person would be meditating the whole night, if the person had awareness, concentration, and wisdom the whole night, you know.
Morning.
Manager, I don't know. Because there is no problem in the morning.
I don't. I have a passing attention to feeling any object in the
and if aversion is such a clear object for you, you can just watch that as an object. If it's too difficult to just be watching aversion,
mm-hmm.
he said you can pair it with a neutral object
mm-hmm.
and go back and forth.
Like the breath.
Yes, yeah.
And it's very important, he says, the ideas that you hold in your mind. He says, the ideas that you hold in your mind, he says, don't worry, like, oh, if I don't sleep, I won't be able to, you know, I'll be tired tomorrow and all that.
Yes.
He says, you should not believe those thoughts. Because like he said, you don't, it's not actually not sleeping that makes you tired.
Yeah.
Not let those thoughts go, because if those thoughts are there, he says the aversion will grow. So those sort of thoughts in your situation, he says you should never let them go. You cannot just watch them. He's like, the moment you notice it, catch it, come back to feeling and feeling and neutral sensation, aversion and neutral sensation. If you catch the thought and then catch it,
mm-hmm.
come back to
mm-hmm.
aversion and neutral sensation. Don't let that thought get away. So in the beginning, for you, he says, just try to be aware of these as objects,
mm-hmm.
neutral sensation and so on, just to like grow some momentum in just being aware. Until the mind sort of stabilizes around being aware of
mm-hmm.
these things, he says investigation cannot happen because right now there's too much agitation
mm-hmm.
for that
approach. Yeah, now let's
do it. Does that all make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll try it.
You may
have
to
do
it.
Yeah?
One night won't be enough.
I'll be here for a few days. I'll keep reporting back.
He says this can be a real opportunity to gain something from the practice.
I do realize that.
He says rather than wake up tired, he says do this. But if you don't do this, you will be tired.
Choice
is yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, but he says it will be a real effort and right attitude. Yeah, he says the right attitude is really whatever the situation, I'll make use of it.
Yeah.
So then you won't be upset anymore.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care, see you later. You will look.
It's only when we really come across difficulty here that we put our nose to the ground.
Yeah. When
we're doing well, we don't really want
to.
He says, it's like when we're in the throes of the difficulty, it takes a lot of more effort, you know, trying to explain everything also for that person. But if all the people, he says, who are fine now, he said, would now make a concerted effort to know every feeling and every thought, you know, really, he says, then when that sort of time comes, he says, you're already expert at watching those
thoughts.
Practice to be skillful now, he said, and watching thoughts and feelings and all that, he says, and and building up awareness, concentration, and wisdom, and all that. He says, then at that time, when something difficult happens, it's easy because all that's coming.
Understanding the ball and put on already.
And if real understanding has appeared before, he says, then it's even easier.
Reaction of
Lava. You won't even react, but in the difficult situation.
What reaction? Lava alone, yeah.
He says, now we react, then we try to work with it.
I thought I'd learned quite a lot. I learned not to be averse to pain in the daytime.
Yeah. Well,
tonight is another question. He
says it's only because we think we need to sleep. So we've made needing to sleep a problem. So when you do something rather than let the mind just tire itself.
Mm-hmm.
When we come across a bad situation and if we are serious and we want to meditate, he says we always have to think of it as an opportunity to use He says, but you know what we do when we have bad situations? We're only thinking about how to get rid of the bad situation as quickly as possible. He says in his life, it was when he was in difficult situations that he understood anything. intellectual aminas in nine. The deep amir tie in to amir say chanda me lu. Chanda me lu ya le le. Why so tu a o pili da shi ma tu a say nye da be so wrong. Pili da o gadi shi ni lu. Pili da o ga pa la say say chanda me ma po le. Tu a ato pi ro de gel di
He
says, being aware all the time is not a guarantee that you will be happy all the time because awareness alone is not enough.
Awareness, understanding, palama.
It's only when that awareness has brought understanding.
So
the point of practicing meditation
nature ဆိုတဲ့ idea အမြင်နဲ့ရှိရမယ်
so that
right view ရှိရမယ
် that idea or right view at least intellectually has to be with you all the time
nature လို့ပြောတယ် feeling sensation ကို nature လို့သိတယ် feeling ကို nature လို့သိတယ်စိတ်ကို nature လို့ယူထားတယ်ဆိုတော့
that you know all the experiences that this nature he's explained that before remember like all the body sensations whatever you might feel whether it's heat softness or hardness like you're not the only person who can feel it so the experiences of nature and so too with the feelings and thoughts and other mind activities
အဲ့တဘောထားနဲ့သူ့ကိုဖြစ်ဖြစ်လာလို့ရှိရင်အနည်းငယ်ရုပ်ရဲ့ဟိုအင်ဂျင်နီယာရဲ့အားပြည်လာတဲ့ကံတဘောပေါ့လေ
if we always bring this view in to be mindfulness he says although it's intellectual in the beginning if we keep doing it at some point sometime in a state of balance or clarity of mind the mind can see into the truth of that
ဘယ်လိုလို့ဉာဏ်ဖြစ်လာမလဲဆိုတော့ပြောရဖက
် so but how that wisdom or that insight might come is difficult to say
ပြောနိုင်တာဥစဉ်ပြောနိုင်တာရှိတဲ့စိတ်ကဘယ်လိုလို့ဖြစ်ရမလဲဒါဥစဉ်ကဟို advice ပေးလို့ရပြောပြလို့ရ
you can only say like what so
ဘယ်လိုဉာဏ်ဖြစ်လာမလဲဆိုတော့ပြောရတိတ်ခက်
yeah what sort of understanding your mind will come to like what truth your mind will suddenly come to understand which perspective or whatever he won't be able to know even though you use this you might understand something
who ပြောနိုင်တာအဲအာထုတဲ့စိတ်မှာတကယ်လောဘဒေါသအားနည်းနေတဲ့စိတ်ဉာဏ်ဖြစ
် and it will be in a moment when there's truly less aversion delusion or
greed
in the mind
and wisdom is here intellectual is here
at least intellectually some wisdom is being used by the mind at that time
no အမြင်နဲ့လိလာ
and there must be a constant consistent investigation
ပြောင်းပြောင်းသဘောပေါက်လာခြင်းမဟုတ်ဘူ
း and one person's understanding can be very different from another
yeah သဘောပေါက်မလို့လို့ပြောတယ
် so we can't like specify what you will come to understand you can't say understand it this way because that might not be where you're connected and you'll understand it
MC มาจ้ะเราเมื่อกี้อ่ะပြောလိုက်เนาะ Insta ไปเลยตรุตัดล่ะ
อืม
Insta ไปเลยไอ้มีนาฉิดาตะนิดๆบรรณคามีนี่บรรณคาปึ๊ดไอ้เดี๋ยวรอบนี้จะชิ้นตัดล่ะไอ้ตรุจบจ้ะ
he went and did a weekend retreat at CIMC and he gave them some homework and it helped some people to really feel that they were aware more times in the day and he asked them to be aware of how many times they noticed they were seeing and looking in the day like how many times they noticed that seeing or looking was happening
seeing and looking to that
like seeing and looking the same
seeing and looking to that
do you know if seeing and looking are the same are you thinking about seeing and looking right now
looking at take attention pay at
when looking the mind pays attention
attention machine take mien ni or mien si ya you when mien you when mien
if the mind is not paying attention to something particular seeing still continues to happen
okay.
So at least do we know how many times we look in a day?
I have any little one.
Maybe we can try that.
You see, you there, car. They tie their car. See their car. Oh, depending on when you know that, look at me.
When we pick something up, when we put something down, when we want to look at something. So from the moment we wake up, we start looking, looking, looking. When you cook, he says, do you cook without looking at anything? No.
He
says, the whole day we look, 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 but we don't notice. He says, and if we begin to notice, every time we look, we notice that, oh, nothing's happening. We begin to notice, we become aware of it. He says, then once we begin to notice it more often, we can check to see, okay, I'm looking at it, and what else is happening in the mind while I'm looking?
So you say the seeing and looking and noticing and hearing what's happening. Is it like that?
Oh, no. Quite like that. There is a noticing of the fact that looking is happening, or that seeing is happening. And now he's gone to just looking, because seeing happens all the time. And okay, but looking is much more intentional. So he's saying if we would notice how much looking is happening. And in the noticing of the looking, if we begin to notice many times a day, oh, I've looked, or I'm looking again, or I'm looking to do this, I'm looking to do that. If we're beginning to notice that, he says, then we can begin to also check a little further and see, oh, I've noticed I'm looking at this, and then check to see what's happening in the mind while I'm looking. He says, at the moment we see something, he says, usually the mind says something.
Eyeball look out.
Do we notice that the eyeball moves?
The table.
How many times?
Do
we notice that the eyeball moves?
The table.
How many times?
He
says when he was in practicing, when he was practicing in daily life, he did a lot of noticing of seeing and looking. He says if we notice seeing, the seeing, he says then we start noticing a lot of seeing, and then we can go a step further and check whether we notice the difference between the object, the seeing and the seeing. When he talks about the seeing, he's talking about the sense of sight rather than the thing you see. So it's not the table. It's like there's a photograph stuck on the eye, in front of the eye, or on the retina, or whatever. I don't know. The reality of sight rather than the object.
sight of sight of shine, sight of shine, you see that
you. Yeah, but sight is difficult too for most people. I mean, anyone to get right away. He says, so don't look for sight. Don't look for the object of seeing. He says, just try to notice that there's
consciousness
recognition.
Consciousness.
That you're conscious that seeing is happening.
Yeah.
Just to start with that.
Yeah, the man never thought I'd get on the road. Look at what we're looking at. Changing the retirement, yeah?
Yeah, that would be retirement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And then I guess my understanding is that doing lots of formal sitting practice, the more you do, the more moments, the easier it is for those moments to occur.
Your understanding is that the more formal sitting you do, the more moments of awareness there will be during the day.
During daily life.
Right.
But I'm wondering if
I'm
really
I'm a sitting down.
He wants to question that. He said, is it because of the formal sitting that you have more moments of consciousness during the day?
I'm asking, I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
Blue tennis. What do you think?
Tiny little tiny.
Has it anything to do with the posture of sitting?
No. But the intention to do nothing else but be aware.
I think meditating when
you
do meal.
And can't you have the intention to just be aware at other times during the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
So
sure, yeah. Well, Pian,
He says he really wants to point this out. People hold this idea that it's only if you sit that awareness will be good.
China never Chinese.
It has nothing to do with sitting.
Awareness continues lalo to ashamed by
all. It's because of continuous awareness that there is momentum.
Say a little bit.
But it's just the work of the mind.
Go up purely so that you are barney, but such a time up, calm and you time, but a diga animal.
Even as you speak, you sort of betray the idea that the mind holds and the mind disables itself with that idea. So we think it's only if we can sit that awareness will be good.
So is it only intention to be aware that causes those moments, or
the detachment, say. You are just seeing your neighbor, the becoming of the
body. You
are just seeing up here, the up or blue yonder, or the suggestion the one you.
Intention gives some. Intention supports it, gives some power to it. It's like an auto suggestion, you know. If you suggest it to the mind, the mind will remember it.
Yeah. This is only the thing I will try, blue yonder, blue yonder. You can learn down there, see.
This is every day when he used to wake up at home. Every day he would ask himself, how am I going to live today? And then he would say, I want to be aware. He says, if you've given the mind a direction, he says, even when you forget, it will sort of keep coming back to that because you have that intention.
Now, mm-hmm.
And then if that gains momentum, he says, then it comes back faster.
He says,
inertia, yeah. inertia exists not only in physical bodies, it also exists in the mind. He says, when you do something often, he says the mind just wants to do it more and more. It gains momentum, which is a kind of inertia. It keeps wanting to move in the direction, but it's whether it's good or bad.
Mm.
So if you grow this momentum of being aware, then the mind gains that. So if we have the idea that we want mindfulness to be continuous, without the idea that it needs to be with sitting, I mean, it can be with sitting, but you know, without holding it down with that idea, if you have the intention to keep mindfulness as continuous as possible, that will. And if you ever get to the point that you're recognizing that awareness is present, then you can try to hold on to that. Then it doesn't matter what you do, all you hold on to is you can sit or walk or work or eat. He says you hold on to this feeling that you're aware that there's mindfulness, that awareness is present. And hold on to that, and it just stays with you while you go through the other
emotions.
He says, if we would do that as much as possible in whatever we do, he says, it doesn't matter if you get swept away into the work you do and you forget. When you remember, you just try again.
I have difficulty with that. It seems to me that if you're dedicating time on retreat, it's easier to sustain the intention when you don't really have all the other distractions. But when you're in daily life, and the distractions just sort of overwhelm you time after time after time, it seems quite difficult to. Unless you have a very, very strong intention
to develop. In practicing in a retreat and practicing in real life, which will you have to practice more? He says, and it's that kind of power that has real strength.
What is the intention to practice in real life? Is what has the real strength, so that it's not really necessary to do anything if you have intention.
Skillful machine will work.
He says, well, if you're not skillful enough, then go for the
Okay. Skillful thing, try out your mind.
He says, but if you're really skillful, he says, go for it, do it in life.
You think you're going to try out your yogi go for it.
He says, if someone is 6 months at the center in Burma, he tells them, go and do it.
Mature will be now.
He says, you'll get more mature. He says there are no difficulties in the meditation
center.
Only when we can go through many difficulties that it grows.
But it's so hard to sustain the intention in
daily life. My auto chinesic
on the retreat, there's more support, more external support.
Motivation to get low.
He says, that's right, we haven't suffered enough. He says, we really need very strong motivation to want to practice. He says, that's why he has his greatest wish for the yogis is to meet with some suffering. But you know what retreats are good for? He says you can grow wisdom about learning how to practice, and that wisdom can grow and
motivation
to practice in daily life.
now what don't have yet look color little suffering young at all. The get teaching as well.
He says the motivation or the real desire to practice to practice Dharma can come from two sources. One is suffering. The other one is a real desire to practice because of its value, the value of wisdom. And that comes from within the practice. From practicing and understanding the value of practice, the mind also practices
itself.
He says, actually, you know, there's a lot of suffering, but we don't know it's suffering, and we think that we're doing fine. And so going on retreat is to strengthen those wisdom to understand the inherent suffering
of retreat.
He says if we go for retreat, but whatever wisdom we have, we can't even use it in daily life, because what's the point of a retreat?
I agree with that. I guess my experience has been that the retreat do give me something that allows me to come into daily life. I lose it very quickly, but if I don't have the retreat experience, I don't have a strong enough intention of my own to hold it. It's just not there.
Well, retreat ways, retreat mode when Guwama, Sessa Lumpo,